I wish I could speak Armenian. That would be awesome. Because I tried asking the Lord to gift me with that, and it just didn't happen. So it works out like that. So, yeah, Armin and I, we met at Bible college. And I still remember. let me step back a little bit. I probably won't sit down. I'm like you. I move around a lot. So I came back from Iraq. I was torn. I drank. That's how I fixed what I thought was wrong with me. It was by drinking. I climbed into a bottle and I did not want to get out. My family had moved away from me. And I was really in a dark place. I didn't want to leave my house. I just isolated. And I had a relationship with God through my life, but it was minimal. Like, I had heard of God, but I didn't follow Christ. For me, in the American culture, a lot of times, it's just a box that we check. I am a Christian. And that's what I had done. The Lord really got a hold of me. In my sin, God stepped in and pointed me to the Son and said, look, I've created a way for you to come out of this darkness. And in that moment, when that happened, I chose life. I chose repentance. I came face to face with my sin nature, and I chose to confess that to God. I need your Son. And Christ came like that and built a bridge back to God so I could be in relationship with him again. One of the things is believing in your heart. I believed in my heart. Did God love me, even though I was this dirty, broken man who had done things that I wouldn't ever mention again? But God cleansed me. Christ came. His blood cleansed me clean. I confessed all of my sins to God right there in my apartment in one moment. I'm drunk, and the next moment, I am totally sober and never wanting to turn back to alcohol. I asked God, now what? Now what do I do? Here I am, this broken man, confessing my sins, and I don't know what's the next step. Where do I go from here? If I walk out my door, everybody out there in the world is going to be exactly the same. All of my friends are going to say, hey, let's go party. But God, in his infinite wisdom, separated them from me. He started taking all of my bad friends out of my life. Every single bad person that's bad for me, God took out of my life. And because I was obedient to his word, I asked him, where do you want me to go? What do I do? He called me to Capital Bible College, to this church. And I remember, actually, let me stop there. I remember I was 15 years old when I first came to this church. And I was asked to leave. I had a mohawk. I was a crazy kid. and they asked me to leave. And I was like, I am never going back there again. Never. So don't ever tell God I'm never going to do that, because that's what he's going to ask you to do. So at any rate, I asked God, okay, so what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go to Bible college and get my word in your heart. And so 2009, I came to Bible college. I walked in the door and I was shaking, like worse than I am now, like shaking. They're going to see all the darkness in me. These people are holy, and I am not holy. But, you know, I walked in the door, and I remember it was Pastor Chris Howard. He had an interview with me, and I just told him, this is what happened. I was sitting in my apartment. I was drunk. I was playing a video game. I was not following God. And God literally came into my apartment. Like, I could hear him talking to me. Not like a voice that's, but in here. And I told him kind of what I already told you guys. And he's like, you belong here. You belong here. I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this. He goes, don't worry. God wants you here. He's going to pay for this. And sure enough, George W. Bush signed into law this post-9/11 GI Bill, which anybody who joined the military after 9/11 got free college. Oh, my Lord. Thank you. How is that? Like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. Here's the money. Okay, so I started going to Bible college, and the first class that you're forced to take at Bible college is not about the Bible, strangely enough. It's about you, because the idea is we have to take all of this junk inside of you and make that obedient to Christ. We have to take all of those roots of pain and suffering, the things you did to yourself and chose to do, we have to make those things obedient to Christ. And I was like, at first I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to look at myself anymore. But I needed it. And that's where I met Armin. And it's a wonderful relationship that we've built. You know, God took people out of my life that I loved and adored, but they were bad for me. And he replaced those people with people who are good for me, like your pastor, people that build me up. Whenever I'm struggling, I can call one of these people, one of these new friends that I have, and they will build me up. So, We go through Bible college, and I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I started learning about it more and more and more. And I remember I was sitting in this third row back, about where this young lady is right here in the, and we're praying in this room. We have Dr. Del Tarr. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's doing this teaching on the Holy Spirit, and bam, I am struck with the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. I'm worshiping in tongues, and I can't explain it, but it happened, and it happens. I sought the Holy Spirit, and he filled me. So that was the first time that I was filled with the Spirit. In learning about the Holy Spirit and that relationship, it's like any other relationship. You guys, I'm sure you have friends that you know very well, and you walk into, let's say, Capitol. There's thousands of people here, but you hear that voice. Hey, that's my friend. I know. And you'll walk over to the coffee shop and you'll find them because you hear their voice. You know them. And that's what it is with the Holy Spirit. You want to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear his voice, and you'll know his voice. Through studying his word, you'll hear his voice. And the more you build that relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more you'll be able to distinguish his voice from all the voices that you hear in your head. I hear voices in my head telling me, hey, do this. It's not like a... It sounds weird to say that, I hear voices, but it's just, you know, you hear, it's like you're telling yourself stuff, but there's this one special voice inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. God gives us his Holy Spirit, and he speaks to us and leads us into all truth. So we want to cultivate that relationship more and more and more so where we can hear his voice. And know, distinguish it, and follow it. The digging deep into my roots, you know, you come face to face with things that you've done, and you could go two ways with it. You could either let it control you, or you can control it. You can deal with it and get it over with. Put it behind you. You dig out those roots and no longer are you affected by the choices you made in the past. When you go into, like, I work at Winter Sanctuary. I work with a lot of people who are all over the place. Some people, they've been abused greatly out there. And they see a man and they think, he is going to abuse me. So it's difficult to build relationships with people who have been abused. But I know in the deepest part of my soul that God wants me to let them know that he loves them. And there's people in the world who will not treat them badly. So I continue to talk to them and work with them. And when I'm engaged in the conversation, they will recoil. Because maybe something that I'm putting forth has happened to them in the past, and they were hurt by this person or that person or something. Those are roots. Although I might not mean anything harmful by what I'm saying or doing, they have a root inside of them, and they remember from the past, and they're bringing it forward and placing it on me. So it's important that we deal with our roots. That way, when we engage in conversation with people, we're not putting our past on them. We have to make sure that as Christians, we can show them the love of Christ without showing them our past. And so that is really what I got out of Pastor Cheryl's class. And it's important. It's important that we continue as Christians to deal with our past. We are forgiven. We are free. But we have to work at that. And we work at it by communicating with the Holy Spirit, learning through God's word, and making all of our thoughts captive and obedient to Christ. And that's really how you learn to recognize the Holy Spirit. Meditating on God's word, you'll hear more and more inside of your heart. You know, when Armin asked me to speak, I was really excited. And really nervous at the same time. Actually, I've spoken in this room many times, but it was always college students, my classmates. So this is I had this really awesome sermon built around the prodigal son. And then the Lord said, you know, it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. The prodigal son and Valentine's Day. Does that really work? Well, yeah, it's a love story. It's a story of a father who loves his son and so desperately wants his son to come home. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to come home. We're stuck in a pig pen and we think, man, I'm going to show up and they're just going to smell me and it's not going to be good. But the father always loves to run to the son. And I love that story. There's two things that I learned through reading this story. There's two prayers in it that I had not ever seen before. And these two prayers are, give me. That's the very first prayer of the prodigal son. He goes to the father and he says, give me my inheritance now. And it's all about him. And he goes through his life, whether it be right or wrong. I mean, we all are different. And sometimes he obviously was of age and deserved his inheritance. And he wanted to go taste life. And there's really nothing wrong with that, per se. But it was about him. He wanted to go and taste life. And he did. And he, it says he lived on riotous living. He enjoyed riotous living. And at the end, he's in this pig pen, and he had another prayer. And his other prayer was very much different. He said, make me. Make me as one of my father's servants, because they live better than I am now. And that prayer, both prayers were answered. The father gave him his inheritance and allowed him to live his life in riotous living. It broke his heart to see him go, but he allowed it to happen. And he also answered the second prayer. But instead of answering the second prayer the way he asked it, he answered it double. Give me the cloak. Let me put my ring on your finger. Bring the fatted calf. We are going to celebrate because my child was once dead, but now he is alive. And God wants to do that with us. He answers our prayers every single time. Sometimes, like me, I lived half of my life in riotous living. God allowed me to do that. He gave me, here is your inheritance. Go and squander it. And I did. But he also heard my second prayer, where I said, please, God, make me as one of your servants. And he blessed me in that. And I can't say enough of how God changed me. I was once lost. I was once a guy who could not look in the mirror because of what he saw in the reflection was disgusting. I couldn't do it. Now I meet with people every day that maybe look in the mirror exactly how I used to look. And I just encourage them. Encourage everyone you meet, take a step of faith. If you hear God say, I want you to put my word in your heart, don't worry about the money. He will pay for it. Go, do it. Take a chance, take a risk. If you see a homeless person, you don't have to give them money. You can give them something more valuable. That's your time. That's your ears. And that's your heart. You can communicate God's love to somebody, and that's so much richer than putting a dollar in their basket as you drive by. You know, that may be what they want, But what they really need is our love, our compassion, and our time. And it's easy to do that. It's just hard. But I have this, there was a lady I was telling you a few minutes ago about people who have been abused, and there was a lady, she came up to me last night, and she came and she apologized to me. She said, "I'm really sorry that I've treated you this way, and something you said tonight really changed me and forced me to come and apologize to you." I'm like, "Wow. You've never treated me badly. I don't know what you're talking about." But in her mind, that's what she saw herself as, treating me badly. I have no idea what she was talking about, but just the grace of telling her, you know, thank you. Thank you, and you're totally forgiven.
Amen.
She was happy. She changed. I don't even know what she was talking about, but you're welcome. You're forgiven. You don't have to tell them, "Hey, I don't know what you're talking about," but you can forgive them, and they'll. It's weird. God does miracles. I don't even know what I had said to her that caused her to come up to me and do that. I think I was standing there telling everyone to be gracious with each other. That out there in the world, you're going to have lots of problems and fights and issues. But here is a sanctuary for everyone. And I want everyone to be able to enjoy the sanctuary. And that's all I said. I don't know how that changed her idea inside, but apparently she was being mean to me about something like that. And I never saw it, so. Winter Sanctuary, we might come back here again. I really thank you guys for coming out. That was awesome. Our guests talk about Capital Christian Center with such joy and how we treat them. They feel like human beings when they come here. And I know everybody wants to feel like a human being. I want to feel like a human being. No matter how messed up I am, I still want to feel like a human being. So, you guys, I can't applaud you enough for the things that you've done for the Winter Sanctuary guests. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've seen transformation in people that you never expect it, you know. I guess maybe my expectations are low, and I should probably raise them, because I start seeing things happen that are just incredible. There's this one guy, his name's Kevin, and I know almost all of their names. Actually, the other day, there's this guy, Kevin, and he was drunk, really drunk and really angry. And we're not supposed to allow them to be drunk, but we have a little bit compassion. We'd rather them be a little drunk in the program than out in the world freezing. So I have a little bit of compassion. I start talking to him, and he's like quoting scripture to me, and I'm listening to him. I'm like, "Bro, where'd you learn the Bible?" And he had gone to seminary.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, "That's incredible. What happened? Why'd you stop going?" He said, "Well, you know, the school I went to, they were really kind of this way." And so I let that go and didn't really talk too much about that, because he was intoxicated, would go nowhere. And I didn't want to argue with a drunk guy, so I ended up just, okay, I'm going to build this relationship. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be exactly like I want to be with the Holy Spirit, with God. I'm going to build this relationship until he can actually hear me. And there was a point in time where he stopped drinking, started praying and communicating with me more and more. And I said, you know, anytime you're ready to go back to seminary, I will support you in that. I will write you a letter saying he is ready, good to go. And just the other day, he's, Tracy, I want to go back to seminary. I've repaired my relationship with God. I saw the error in my thinking, and it was error in his own thinking. He was accusing people of doing something that was just not real in his head. And now he wants to go back to seminary. I'm like, yeah, way to go. I'm excited for him. He's still homeless, but he is not unhappy. He is full of joy, full of peace, and that's what we get. We get the peace and the joy, no matter the circumstance. The circumstances might not change, but your outlook towards the circumstances will change. Your joy and your peace will be there. And to end, you know, I don't know how much time I have. I forgot my clock. Oh, yeah, hey. Cool. You guys aren't bored, are you? So, this is what God has replaced in my life. First, I was drunk, alone. My daughter was gone. I had been divorced since 2003. It's sad it happens. I don't think it's in God's heart for us to be divorced, but it happens. We live in a world where people have choices, and my ex-wife made a choice that she had wanted nothing to do with the walk that God is bringing me on. And I have to honor that. And the Bible says that I have to honor her. So I did that. I honored her. I let her with her choice. Now, the Lord has given me full custody of my teenage daughter. And I have a beautiful new wife of 1 year at the end of this month, the 28th. A stepdaughter who I adore. She is my other daughter. We are expecting a child in July, July 10th. Yeah. And, you know, I might not have a ton of things, but I have the important thing. I have God as the center of my life and a loving family. And I do have a ton of joy and a ton of peace. And my circumstances might be kind of bleak. You might, if I brought you over to my house, you would be like, how do you guys fit in here? But we do. And it's beautiful because God is there. His Holy Spirit is there. Amen. And we have the joy and the peace that comes from that relationship. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you, no matter where you are at in your walk with Christ, to just continue. Continue trying to hear his voice by reading his word, spending time alone with the Holy Spirit. You will be able to distinguish his voice from all the voices out there, like Armin. If I hear Armin, 5,000 people at this church. I can pick out Armin and hey, what's up? Out of 5,000 voices, that's with the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you to do that. And if you're facing trials, just rely on God. God will lift you up through it. God will put his peace on you. Actually, you know, I want to say one more thing. That's okay. So I have my mom 2 years ago. My mom had cancer 3 years ago. She passed away. She was estranged. And when I say that, I grew up in a household. My mom had an alternative lifestyle. My mom loved women. So I had two moms for half of my life. And that's kind of weird because, you know, when you're a Christian or when you read the Bible, you're like, hey, there's something wrong with this. In your mind, you can't really kind of make it work. But, so she gets cancer and she's dying. And I'm constantly going, you know, I was number one son until I said, Mom, I'm going to seminary. And then I became number zero son. You know, I don't want to have a relationship with my son anymore, she said. So anyway, I'm communicating with my mom, and I found out why she hated God. Through this communication with her, she had confessed to me that as a little child, she was told to pray for her grandpa and he will get better. Well, she did, with all of her heart, prayed for her grandpa, and he died. And nobody explained to her that anything. You know, they just said, pray for him and he'll get better. So when he dies, a four-year-old child's going to be like, God, why did you do that? You know, and the pain and the anger of that. And nobody explained to her that, you know, he's in heaven. He is completely healed right now. He is with the Father. Nobody explained that to her. So she held this inside of her until, you know, right before she passed away when she confessed it to me. And I was able to walk her through the scriptures where, you know, that's the truth. God does heal people. Sometimes he heals them by taking them home. And that's a good thing. He was a godly man, and he is in heaven. That's a good thing. She didn't see it as that as a four-year-old. You know, you don't see it like that. It's kind of abstract, I guess. But when I explained it to her, and she was able to receive it in her heart, she actually turned and asked God for forgiveness. And she, like, literally was saved. The Bible says that those who are in mourning will be comforted. I remember the night she died, I was praying for her all night long. I was praying. I got this vision from God, and it was this baby being held in this dark, cloaked figure's hands. And I'm praying and praying for her. And I saw this light come out of heaven down to this child and pull this child up to heaven out of the dark figure's hands. And I was comforted by that. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I woke up in the morning and just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Although she was a baby in Christ, she was in Christ. She asked for forgiveness, and she was forgiven and entered into heaven. And I believe it with all of my heart that God comforts us. He gives us. When we turn to him, he comforts us. When we rely on him, he fills us. And I'll leave you with that. So I hope that anything that I might have said would encourage you to keep seeking the Lord and keep building your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I know that big things are going to happen. All of your life. So thank you. Thank you. Dreams and visions of the sun. place.